Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Blog Talk listeners. Thank you once again for joining my sister, my friend. Thank you for just taking the time out to listen with us tonight. We want to give a shout out to Sister Beverly Beasley, who is the sponsor of My Sister, My Friend, through our Blog Talk show. We want to say hello to our other partners at Free Will Baptist Church and our pastors, Reverend Richard Terry and Pastor Michael Morgan. We give honor to. We thank God for this opportunity once again to come to you and to share some inspirational thoughts with you tonight. We have Minister Randall on the line, who's going to be speaking with us, to us, about when God says go. Boy, that sounds like that's a very, very, very inspiring message that she's going to leave with us tonight. So get your tablets together, your pens, and get ready to take some notes, because I'm sure you're going to want to jot some of this down. In the name of Jesus, we give you Minister Wanda Randall.
Thank you, Sister Lewis. Again, we thank you and Blog Talk Radio and Granny's, by way of Granny's Place, and Sister Beverly for always allowing us the opportunity to come before you and share on behalf of God just what he's doing in our lives and on behalf of those that we're connected to by way of partnership. So we lift up Sister Beverly today and Granny's Place on today, also to your home church, to Pastor Morgan and Sister Morgan, and to my leadership team, Dr. Shelton Carter of the Lighthouse Network, that makes it possible for me to be before you when we're invited out to represent God and kingdom building. So again, we're just very grateful for this Monday, the first Monday in June already. We're already in June. And so as I said before, God, just over the last week, I've just been listening and preparing for graduation ceremonies by way of high school graduations and college graduations, and just all the changes and shifting that are taking place in the natural realm as well as the spiritual realm of our lives. And I began to sit and I just began to think about and then had further conversations as it relates to the answers and things that we get from God. And so we're very excited when God says yes. Sometimes we even get excited when God says no. If there's blessing, if God says wait. These are all the different type, or right, not right now. These are all the different type of responses that we get from God. And by way of the Holy Spirit, and normally our reaction to those things are very positive. If God tells us yes, and I've even learned when God said no, sometimes it's a positive reaction, and then sometimes it's a relief reaction because we already knew the answer anyway, but he just gives us confirmation. But what I've learned is that in our Christian walk, in our faith walk, it's not when God says yes, or it's not when God says no, not when God says maybe, or not when God says right now, hold off a minute, that challenges us. But when God says go, that's when we're most challenged. And so it surprisingly, the no's, the yeses, the waits, the not rights now, even if he came back to say I'm not sure, doesn't really move the believer. But when God says go, the thing that the action words as things where we become fearful and different feelings and emotions begin to evolve. And there are many times in our lives when God calls us to go somewhere or to do something. He wants us to step out on faith in a situation that seems extremely ridiculous, or so he can amaze us with what he does. And so when he says go, most of the time we miss out on these exciting opportunities because we're unwilling to move or let him move through us. And so these are things that I've been pondering over my mind. Like, if God says yes, okay, we get it. If he says no, if he says maybe, if he says wait, we normally, there's no ruffling in our feathers. But when he says go, and a lot of times when God says go, we miss out on our opportunities. We think we're missing out on God, and we're waiting on God when God is really waiting on us to just trust him and go. And so when God asks us to move, he never asks us to go alone, and that's the thing about it. He asks us to move because he wants to go somewhere, and he wants us to move with him. And so that's the biggest misconception, that we're going to be going alone. But if God asks us to go somewhere, even if we don't have someone that's partnering with us, we don't have anyone supporting the idea or believe in what we're saying. Example, Noah. No one believed in building the ark, or the people questioning Moses, because we really we're waiting for someone to walk with us. But when God tells us to go, when he tells us to move, even if you don't have anyone naturally walking with you, we need to understand that we're not alone, because he wants us to go somewhere, because he wants to move with us. So he's not sending us into foreign territory. We've got to know where to go before we can get there. We need to learn to be to faithful, listen to God, and if we're going to be a servant. So we need to learn to faithfully listen to God. If we want to become a faithful servant of his, we have to faithfully listen. And that's why we have to have our ear in tune. And each of our lives, there will come a time, and most likely many times, when the Lord will come to us and simply say, go. He'll say, go. There are specific places God wants us to be at certain times so that he can use us and even bless us in ways that are specific to that particular location. And a lot of times we're in places, and I'm learning this. Unfortunately, I've learned this by trial and error, that there are so many things that I've sought the Lord for, and I've been asking God, why hasn't certain things happened in my life? And it's because that when God said to go or to do, so many times I was so hesitant that I missed the realm of opportunity to be where God needed me to be, so that he can bless me, so that he can teach me something, so that he can take me into a place where he wanted me. And it's all about timing. Everything on the earth has a timing, and everything in the spiritual realm has a timing. So it's very important that we tap into the timing of what's going on in the spiritual realm, and we connect with those things, and we don't miss the boat. And so when God says go, it's important that we position ourselves where we are faithfully listening to God, and we know his voice when he speaks, so we don't miss out on what God has for us. Because when we miss out, we end up finding ourselves wandering for longer than we or that he intended for us to wander, simply because when he spoke the command to go, we were hesitant. So the word go, why is it so fearful? There's no reason to freak out over every little detail in life. It's simply a reminder that we need to listen. Before we can ever know how we should serve God, we must first learn where we can serve God. Sometimes the answer is not a place, but a process. Sometimes he's not asking us to be at a certain place, but go through a certain process. It's almost like a soldier that he goes into boot camp in one place. Then he gets stationed in another place. And then he gets deployed to yet another place. God likes to move his troops around too. Even when we know where we're going, God can change our direction in a split second. So we have to change our approach to how we respond to when God gives the command to go. And as the listeners called the line tonight, Sister Lewis, I definitely want to get into that topic as to why do we wonder and why do we ponder and why do we, you know, twiddle our fingers for so long when we get the command go. But when he says yes and when he says no and he says maybe and all these things, then we're okay with those things. But when he says go, there always seems to be some type of delay. Sure, we can all have general callings, like, you know, you're called to work with kids. But we can't know how that calling is going to be fulfilled until we know where that we're being called to go. And the truth is, fulfilling that calling is the fullest, might require that we serve God in many different places throughout our lifetime. We gain more experience in every place we go, in every way we serve. Sometimes God calls us to certain places to educate and prepare us for the place he wants us to ultimately end up at. And so that's why I question how, when God calls us to a certain thing, and we know, for example, Yeshua, that we're called to serve in children's ministry, and we start off at our local church, and then 50 years we look up, and that same person is still in the same place doing the same thing, and it hasn't been any expansion at all. Because when God calls us to that place, we just stay there. So when he calls us again to go to the next phase, the next rotation in the obstacle course, a lot of times we just stand still and we don't go any further. And so we never fulfill our goal, we never fulfill our destiny, because when we don't answer the call, when he says to go. And we want to talk about tonight, why is it so hard to go when God says go? God could tell you to go to one of countless places. Nothing is impossible for him. It could be as simple as attending a Christian club or going to a school event where you were planning to attend and meeting someone you wouldn't have otherwise met. It might be sitting in a certain seat on the school bus and getting to know someone who desperately needs to know Jesus. There are times, though, when the command go is a little bigger than that. And so this is where we begin to hesitate when our command to go is outside of our comfort zone and it's bigger than the go that we're used to. So if God says, yeah, go across the freeway and visit this church that you're familiar with, then, yeah, a lot of times we'll get up and go. But when God says, okay, we live in the Dallas metro area, I want you to get a group of women today, and I want you to drive down to the city of Austin, and there's a church by the name of ABC Church, and I want you to sit in on that service. Would we go when it's stretching us to go? And for the answer for most, when it's unusual, when it's a stretch and God is saying go, then we pump our brakes and then we start to ask a question, God, is this you? But yet we say, Lord, take me deeper than my feet will ever wander, that my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. We make these declarations and we pray these things to our Father, which are in heaven. But then when he speaks to us and he gives us these great assignments that are not the everyday assignment like run down to the store or go sit next to somebody at your home church, but he's saying go talk to a total stranger. Go walk where you've never walked before. Go walk into a place alone that you've never been before. Go across the way and minister to this person. Or, God forbid, he says relocate altogether. Or leave familiar altogether. When he says go, then all of a sudden this fear comes over. Sometimes he tells the children to go into a mission field. Perhaps that is a calling you believe God has in your life. Other times God tells the children to go home from the mission field because their time of service is done. At times God calls us to go or come home, it isn't followed by a clear reason for why the call came. But the biblical accounts of God telling the children to go are countless. And all through the Bible we'll see where God gave commands to go. And when those who obeyed God went when God told them to go, then the results were always yielding positive results. The first thing that comes to my mind is in Joshua 1 and 2 when he tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. So he tells Joshua, he said, you know, Moses is dead now. So there's no need for you just staying in this state that you're in, staying where you are, thinking that you're glorifying, thinking that you're honoring Moses by staying here. I'm telling you to go. And a lot of us, we get paralyzed because we so get caught up in tradition and we get caught up in religion and we find ourselves in a place when God has said, okay, this is dead. And it's time for you to arise, cross your Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to you. But because you're not familiar with that land, because we've never traveled on that territory before, a lot of times we just stand still and we stay in a dead place and we die simply because we did not trust God or to have enough faith that when he said, go, for us to go. And so as we approach this time in our lives, this applies to all ages, especially for those who are currently getting ready to go off to college or currently getting ready to do a mission or, you know, just all these different things that are happening in our lives and around us that are just everyday things. And God is speaking. He's telling us that it's time to move. It's time to do something different. He's pointing us in different directions. But yet we stand still and we say, can I be hearing you right, God? Where is God telling you to go right now? What is he telling you to do? How is he asking you to serve him with your life at this moment? Sometimes God calls us and we're seemingly, we want to say just a simple, yes, Lord, I can do what you told me to do. I can teach Sunday school, we think. Those are things that we can handle. So the simple things that he comes to us with and saying, oh, yeah, go buy your neighbor a loaf of bread, and we'll say, yeah, God, I'll do that. Or if he said, okay, it's time to, you know, stay in your same neighborhood, but I want you to move to a house versus apartment. And sometimes we say, yeah, but what happens when he commands you to move across town? What happens when he commands you to move to another city? What happens when he commands you to move to another state? Do we have that same trust for God then? Because a lot of times God has said go, and we stand still and we don't go. And then we find ourselves in these unhappy places where the vision that God gave you was great and it was huge. And he said that, you know, that this business that I told you to open before the end of the year, you're going to have 5,000 clients. But if your business is in a city that only has 500 people, is it likely that your business there is going to have 5,000 clients if it's not an internet business, but it's actually a store, but the population for your city is only 500? And so God is saying, yeah, I built this store, and yeah, you're doing great. Now I want you to go across the way, and I want you to set up a store in this city. And you say, well, God, it took me 2 years to do this, and I have to be running back and forth. So I need to live closer to where I'm establishing. And God says, go. He says, move. How many of us actually move and take those huge leap of faith and go in the direction God has told us to go? Or do we allow fear to come in? Oftentimes he calls us to do things that sound ridiculous. I've heard people that have made six figures and God has told them to quit your job. And they're like, that wouldn't make sense for me to quit my job. I've worked hard to get here. I have a six-figure salary. I have 6 weeks of vacation time. I have seniority. Why would I quit? But God says it's time for you to go. Now, the men and women who trust God and go, they soon realize that what God is taking them into is much greater than any benefits they could have had where they were. But those who choose not to trust God, they find themselves getting miserable. They find themselves feeling unfulfilled because they didn't obey God. And more often than not, when he called us to do something ridiculous, we begin to worry about what people are going to think. What are people going to think if I sold my home, all my possessions, moved it in a one-bedroom apartment, and sold everything that I have from a monetary perspective and the vision that God has shown me? What are they going to say? Most of the time, our fears are justifiable, but we don't want to be the person that stands up and tells some of the popular people, you know, in our circle that our lifestyle of compromise is slowly bringing our souls to ruin. And we most certainly don't want to be the person who exclaimed why she or he could not go out with this person or that person, but secretly deep down inside, we also admire the other girls who stand up and do what's right. So we don't want to be the person who sacrifices, who trusts God, but we sit back and quietly admire the person who does. In this moment, that courage is yours for the taking. God promises to go with you. You just have to be willing to step up and go when he sends us out. True service to the Lord is a combination of two things. It's faith and it's submission. And they work together. If we don't have enough of the two, we often don't even have enough of either. It takes an incredible amount of faith to serve the Lord because most of the time when he says go, we have no idea what would happen along the way in detail. But we know that if he told us to go, that he's going with us and that it has to be good because everything worked together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus that are called into his purpose. But we allow all these fear things to go in us, and we sit back, and before we know it, we're in our 20s, we're in our 30s, we're in our 40s, and we're in our 50s. And we realize that God has knocked on our door many times, and he said, go, move, do this, do that. And we'll allow fear to just overtake us, and we don't have enough faith, and we don't submit to what God has told us to do. And we found ourselves just like the children of Israel, just wandering. And Deuteronomy 1 and 2, Moses says, normally it should have taken them 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. That was the threshold of their promise. It was a desert entry point to the promised land. It was a place where they sent the 12 spies to spy. This was supposed to be an 11-day journey. Some recordings say 12-day journey. On the 12th day, the children of Israel should have possessed the promised land, but instead they made a fatal faith-killing mistake. They stopped relying on God leading them and leaned to their own understanding. And that is the critical mistake that we make as believers, that when God speaks to us and he said, move, he says, go. And we know that it's God because you're connected with him and you've been in prayer, you've been before him, and his sheep knows his voice and a stranger would not follow. And we know that it's God. He said, leave that job. He said, it's time for you to be in a new place of worship. He said, it's time for you to start your own business. It's time for you to be in this ministry. It's time for you to trust me here. It's time for you to trust me there. And we know it's God. How do we know it's God? Because these are things that we've already prayed about, and we prayed about them in private, so no one knows except the Father. So he finally speaks to us and says, it's time to go. Your time is now. It's time for you to be the great man of God. It's time for you to be the great woman that he calls you to be. And so just like the children of Israel, instead of just acting on what God has said and grasping and obtaining the promise in a very short period of time, we allow the spirit of doubt to come in. And we stop leaning to God's understanding, and we start leaning to our own understanding. And before we know it, we've talked ourselves out of something good. We've talked ourselves out of our promised land. We talked ourselves out of our promised marriage. We've talked ourselves out of our promised health. We talked ourselves out of our promised job. There's a lot of people who had terminal illnesses that were brought on by different things, allergies, and allergies are more severe than what people think to be. And the doctors have said, if you want to live longer, you need to move to a different climate, because the climate that you're living in is destroying your health, and your body is trying to fight off all these allergies. And so you need to be in a cooler environment. But because fear comes in, people will stay in an environment that's killing them versus relocating to an environment that can extend their life. And the question is, why do we do that? What is so fearful about when God says go? Especially when we know the situation that we're in is a bad situation. Likewise, in Deuteronomy with the children of Israel, they knew that the situation was bad, but they got to the point where they're like, well, we should just go back. We should just go back. Even though God said go forward, no, we should just go back. Because it's something that we're familiar with. And I would rather have the security of being in familiar than have the blessings of going forward into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I know that it's flowing with milk and honey. I know it's a promised land. But since I've never been there before, I would rather stay in the wasteland. I would rather stay in familiar. I would rather stay in lack. I would rather stay in depression. I would rather stay in disappointment. I would rather stay in lack. I would rather stay in poverty than to take the chance of just obeying and submitting to God and just saying, God, you said go, so I trust you, Father, and wherever you lead me, I will follow, because I know that if I'm following you, that you're ordering my steps, and I'm never alone because you are with me. This is an area that we struggle with as believers, as speakers, as pastors, as intercessors. As we're declaring the word all across the country, we're doing fine when God is saying yes and when God is saying no and when God is saying maybe and when God is saying stand up and when God is saying sit down. But when God is saying go, how many of us are courageous enough to put the right foot forward and just go and say, Father, I trust you and I will go where you tell me to go? We sing the song, said, I'll go even if I have to go by myself. Lord, send me, Lord, I'll go. But when he says go, do we really go? Do we really continue to move forward when he tells us to go? If you obey when God says go, your life will become more than you could have ever dreamed for it to be. And that's why a lot of us are not walking in our dream. That's why a lot of us have not fulfilled our purpose. Because when he spoke the word go, we let fear come in. We let doubt. We let all the what-ifs come in. And we just stood still. And that time bypassed us. What was an open door, that door was closed. And so we've waited 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years for the door to open again. And I declare today that we are in the season of open door. And this is a season. This is a times door. This is not a door that you can access with some secret code. This is not a door that even your anointing that can get you in. Not because of who you are, your title, but it's a time door for those who are willing to be faithful and those willing to be submitted. To walk in faith and to walk in submission and say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will go. My answer is yes, Lord, and that is my final answer. A lot of us don't have our healings because when God told us to do something, it sounded so ridiculous for us to follow that method. And so we chose to go through the modern standard way of doing things because we were too embarrassed to say that, well, God told me to goggle with coconut oil 3 times a day, and he was going to heal me. We were too embarrassed to do those things. We were too embarrassed to speak those things, so we find ourselves. But there was somebody who was faithful, had faith and submission. And so God said, every morning for the next 30 days, I want you to get up, and I want you to goggle with coconut oil. And if you do that, then I'm going to heal your high blood pressure. There was somebody who was brave enough to do that. And after that 30-day trial of doing what God told them to do, squishing coconut oil between their teeth and goggling with it 3 times a day for 30 days, found it absolutely ridiculous to somebody when they told them that. But when they went back to the doctor after that 30-day period and the doctor did blood pressure again and their blood pressure was average, it never peaked in a 30-day time, or he told them to do something very different to control their blood glucose levels. If they go in for the AC1 testing and their AC1 testing that was 7 or 8 is now at a 5.4 because they simply obeyed God and was willing to be faithful and to submit to him, even though what was they were hearing, they knew it was God, but it was a little strange because his ways are not our ways and neither are his thoughts our thoughts, but they were willing to trust him. When God said, write this letter and ask them if they would waive your debt, would they would forgive your debt, and they will give you the deed to your church or give you the deed to your property or waive the back taxes so that you can walk away debt-free. When God told you to write that letter, when he told you who to write to, if you had just did what God told you to do, then a lot of us would not be where we are today because he had already prepared the way and already put favor in the person's heart who was going to be receiving that note, who was going to be receiving that letter, and they were going to honor it. But we allow fear to come in because it was different, because it was ridiculous to us, and so we did not do what God told us to do. We did not move when he told us to move. We did not go when he told us to go. We didn't put it in the mail. We didn't make the phone call. We didn't send the text because we're so afraid of what the other person was going to say or if someone said no. So we chose not to go. We chose not to do what he told us to do. He was simply saying go. So when God says go, That's the best life we can have when we surrender and we go. Sure, in the end, it may not always reflect the life that you would have chosen for yourself. But once we come into God, it's no longer about our life. It's the life that he has for us. It's no longer about our will, but it's his will for our life. But it will be one of the both that the one that counted forever. More than you ever thought was possible. We all want to be significant. We all want to live for more than we are living right now. And we all desire to be real. We don't want to be fake or we don't want to wear a mask. Where could your presence make the most difference? If you're honest, we'll all admit that we like to have lives in epic proportion. If only we weren't so afraid. If only we would just go when God said go. What is the one thing? What is that one thing you have dreamed of doing for almost as long as you can remember? What is that one thing that you know absolutely you must do before you die? What is that one thing you have to offer to the Lord that would greatly impact his kingdom here on earth? What could your presence make the most difference in? Is it where you are now? Is it the job that you're working on? Is it your place of worship? Is it where you're serving at? What could you do that would make the biggest impact on the world? What could you do? Where could you be right now that would give you a greater impact than you being even on this line tonight? Where could you be? What could you be doing that changes the world, changes the life of your family, those that are around you? If we had just went, when God says go, and not be afraid and not let people talk of us out of large things and huge things that God said to do. Some of you are called to be across seas. Someone is supposed to be in Canada today. Someone's supposed to be in London today. Someone's supposed to be in Mexico today doing what God called you to do. Someone's supposed to be downtown today. Someone's supposed to be across the country serving in Africa. Someone's supposed to be in China that's on this line now. But when God said go, fear came in, and you started thinking about all the things that could happen, and versus just trusting God to be God. Many times we make the mistake of thinking we have to have it all figured out before we can start serving God. We assume that we must graduate from college or at least high school before we can be used in a position, but it's simply not true. Many times the people that God uses the most are those who are comfortably settle in a stable lifestyle. Often God uses those who are, they're searching and moving, and because they're willing to go wherever he tells them to go, they don't have plans and agendas of their own. And so he has to use those who are more likely to go. And sometimes we sit back and say, how did they get chosen? I have all of this skill set. I have all these degrees, and I've served in ministry, and I've done this, and I've done that. How did they get selected? Well, because when he told you to go, you didn't go. So he had to find someone who was faithful enough and submitted enough to take away their list of pros and cons. And when they heard God speak, just said, okay, God, I'll go. But with us, it's like, what if, or what about this? Well, can you tell me a little bit more about that? But if God said go, do we really need to do all those things if he simply said to get up and go? Serving God does not begin when you get to wherever you want to be. That's not when it begins. It begins when you make a conscious decision to go wherever God tells you to go to minister to those he shows you in that place. We need to find the direction God is calling us to and begin to serve him as you were on your own way. Don't wait until you get there. In Genesis 24 and 27, Abraham's servant says, being on the way, the Lord led me. Being on the way, the Lord led me. If you let him, he will lead you on your way too. So waiting for God is not a good enough answer because he's already spoken and told you what. You may not just know where. So you could be moving in the what until God defines what your where is. So I know that God has called me to something greater, to something great, to something different. I understand that. But while I'm waiting for God to give me my assignment, I'm not going to sit somewhere and say I'm never ministering again until God tells me where. I already know the what. So I'm operating into the what until God shows me the where. So are you going to put your what on the shelf just because you're waiting on the where? Servanthood is faith and submission. And if we cannot serve God on the way to where he's called us to go, we will never be able to serve him when we get there. Jonah said no to God's call. When God called Jonah, he said no. And he found himself floating in a bunch of vomit in the belly of a big fish. God would go to great lengths to get the attention of his children. And sometimes he has to go and they refuse. He chases them until they change their mind. Is God chasing you right now? Where is he telling you to go? Where is he telling you to stay? Where is your place of service? And why aren't you there? So, Sister Chandra, tonight, I'm not sure if anyone has joined us on tonight, but those are the questions tonight. Is God chasing anyone? If so, where is he telling you to go? Or where is he telling you to stay? Where is your place of service? And why aren't you where God told you to be? Because what he has for you is there. And we can't get it until we get there. And we won't get there until we get up and start going.
Amen. Well, Minister Renda, we don't, it's just me and you at the present moment, waiting for my callers. Callers, if you're out there in cyberspace on your computer, give us a call at 310-982-4126 and talk to us and tell us what you are thinking tonight about this subject, because it is very interesting to know that God is placing us somewhere and we are. My answer, what I was sitting here thinking was, we are skeptical, Minister Randall. We say we have the faith to do what God has us to do, or we ask to go where he has us to go, but once he gives us that assignment, we're skeptical about it. We're, like you say, fearful. We want to stay in our comfort zone. We don't want to step outside. We don't want to go ahead and do what he has called us to do because of the comfort, because of the because of being skeptical, because of being fearful. But we say we have faith. So you know, that's one of the things that I feel we need to overcome. And until we learn how to overcome that, we can't walk in it because we're just talking. You understand? And we want to, but when it comes down to it, we just fearful of what will happen or what somebody will say, or they're, you know, they'll think something about us, you know, have an opinion, which that's fearful. You know, a lot of us scared of what somebody else will say when it's doubt. They don't have a heaven or hell to put us in. It's only us that have to stand in front of God and give account to why we didn't go and what we didn't do. You know, you can present them with opportunities, and they say, oh, we need to step outside of the church, and we need to do this and that, and we need to minister to the unchurched. And when you give them the opportunity, or God asks you to ask them to go, it's an excuse. You know, I can't do this because, or when it's time, something comes up, or, you know, lack of faith, or it's not comfortable for me. I can't sacrifice that time. I can't sacrifice doing that, or that's going to cost me too much, or, you know, we just have an excuse. You know, that's one of my little pet peeves right there, because if God tells me to do something, I try to step out on faith, and usually I accomplish what God has me to accomplish through him. So that's where I see it, you know, we are with that, when we don't go.
Amen. That's really good insight, Sister Lewis, because when you think about the children of Israel, and historically, when we talk about disobedience and we talk about people wandering, it's a biblical story that we all like to use, but our lives are so parallel to their lives. It's actually, they go in the same way. The Church of Israel, they got off to a very good start. They were believing God, and they knew that God was going to lead them to the promised land. So what happened? What happened that they were so excited about being free and going to the promised land? And so we're excited because we're hearing from God, and so we go before God, and we say, God, give us direction. Where do you want me to serve at? How do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to be? And so we're so excited about that. And when God says, okay, Minister Randall, he said, I heard you, my daughter, and I want you to serve in the area of street ministry. And I'm like, okay, yes, God. I'm familiar with Oak Cliff. I'm familiar with South Dallas. I'm familiar with North Dallas. And he goes, no. I want you to go into the streets of London.
Okay.
And so I'm excited because he's chosen me for a mission. But not only did he chose me for a mission, he chose me for international mission. And so the same thing with the children of Israel. They were excited at first. But as they traveled, they had 11 days to think about it. They had 11 days to think. When they were at the mountaintop, they were all pumped up and ready to go. Had they been able to go immediately into the promised land, they probably would have made it. But during the 11-day trip to the front door of the promised land, doubt began to creep in. How many of us have ever gone on a trip to a place where you've never been before? What do you think about traveling to that new place? Most of the time you're excited, and definitely you're on a roll, but people who have a travel phobia, then they start thinking about all the things that could happen. What ifs? And before you know it, they've ruined their entire trip because they're so worried about the what ifs that they took their eyes off what was promised. And that's what happens, because when God gives us a word, the enemy comes quickly to try to come take up the word before that word takes root in us. And that's why whenever God gives me something, I don't leave it in my mind. I quickly plant it in my heart, because the enemy does not have access to my heart, but he does have access to my mind, because that's what his battlefield is, in our mind. The battlefields are in our mind. So when God gives me a word, I quickly transplant that word by faith into my heart, and I let it take root there, and I water it daily. We're adding more of the word on top of it, because from the time that he says, I'm called you, and now prepare to go to London. So there's a preparation that has to be made. You know, you got to give your job notice. You got to sell your house. You got to find a place to live there. And while you're going through all these things, just likewise the children of Israel, doubt is coming in. If you're not, if you don't have that word planting in your heart, and you're not watering it with the right people, and there's even sometimes when God says go, you can't tell everybody that God says go. Sometimes you just got to get up and go. Because once you tell everybody that God says go, then you have all these naysayers, people who come in and try to, well, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good move. I don't think that's a good investment. But if God told you to go, if God said move, if God said go, who is anybody to tell you that God said otherwise than what God said? So that 11-day journey, the children, they imagine what the promised land looked like and their lives would be like once they settled there. They imagine the children playing around with new homes. They imagine rich farmland and plenty of water for their flocks and herds. But they also began to imagine something else. They imagine having to fight many battles to drive the existing people out of the land. They imagine that they might die in battle, that their kids may be captured in battle and sold as slaves. Their doubts and their fears began to multiply. So in spite of all the great preaching by Moses, they hesitated to go directly into the promised land and said they camped at the border. As you read in Deuteronomy, when it gets to verse 22, but you responded first, let's send out scouts to explore the land for us. They will advise us on the best route to take and decide which towns we should capture. This seemed like a good idea to me. So he chose 12 scouts, and from each of the tribes, they crossed into the hills and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. Moses, sometimes leaders make this mistake too. Moses looked back on the incident, admitted it seemed like a good idea at the time, but then he later felt like maybe it wasn't a good idea. You see, the problem here is that they quit relying on God and faith and began to rely on their own wisdom. Instead of relying on God to tell them the best route to take, which towns to capture, they start relying on their talent. This is dangerous to do. We can't rely on our talent and we can't rely on our skills, but no matter how skilled we are, no matter how talented we are, we have to always rely on God. In the book of Mark, around the 6th chapter, 45 to 53, and it says, immediately after the miracles of feeding 5,000 people, Jesus constrains the disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. There are four trips across the Galilee within a few days. This is their fourth trip within a few days. And so with Jesus ascending, and when he began to talk and when he began to tell Peter,
Minister Randall?
Sorry about that, ma'am.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I thought you had disconnected.
Amen. And so this is their fourth trip across the Sea of Galilee. And so in the process of these things that are going on, this is also where it talks about where Peter is walking on water. So they see this image walking on water, and he looks like it's the Christ. And so Jesus invites him out. He says, no, he beckons Peter to come unto him. And Peter was afraid, but he says, no, Father, if you forbid me to come, then I'll come. And so he tells Peter, he says, come. And so he's saying, go. You want to know, go. Go out of the boat and come to me. And as long as Peter had his eyes on God, he kept his eyes on Christ, he was walking on the water. But it's when he took his eyes off of God is when he started to fail. Likewise in our lives, that as long as we keep our eyes on God, we can't go wrong. As long as we keep our eyes on our Savior, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Peter began to seek when his faith wavered, and he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, singular, his hand is what the word says, and caught him. Peter was within arm distance of Jesus for Jesus to catch him. And then he said, oh, thou little faith. Jesus didn't say, oh, they have no faith. Peter had faith. He had more faith than the other disciples on the boat. He had more faith than I probably would have had. Peter had water walking faith. And God wants us to have that same type of faith when he calls us into the deep, when he calls us to a different place. He wants us to come. He wants us to trust him enough. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to walk in faith. He wants us to walk in submission. Peter moved when it was unpopular. Nobody else was moving. No one else is moving except him. Is Jesus inviting you to come today? Is he telling you to go? Is he telling you to move? Does God want you to move out of the comfort zone of your boat and walk by faith in some ministry, in some life journey, in some purpose? Maybe he's calling you to a mission field. Maybe he's calling you to a different place. How much faith will it take for you to move? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be possible to you. Peter didn't waste words. The fewer words, but sometimes the better the prayer. A little faith would cause you to cry out to God when you're sinking in a sinking situation. He simply said, Lord, save me. That is all it took for Jesus to save him, and that's all that it takes for him to save us. What would make someone confess Jesus, the Son of God? They saw Jesus, what Jesus was doing with Peter, and it motivated them to worship. When people see God moving and working in our lives, that motivates them to worship as well. So Jesus sends for us. He sees us. He steps to us. He speaks to us, and he secures us. So going forward, we need to change our attitude and our views as it relates to when God says go. And it's not something that we should be like Jonah and running from. When God loves you enough, and he trusts you enough, and he has enough favor and faith in you to give you an assignment to go or give you an assignment to move, we should love him enough and trust him enough, have enough faith and enough submission to say, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go. Wherever you would have me to go, I would go. Whatever you tell me to do, Lord, then I will do that. We have to get to that point in our life if we want to be what God says that we can be. If we want to go and have what God says that we can have, we have to get more faith than we have to be submitted to when he tells us even the command to go. Yeah, when he said stay, when he said stop, and when he says no, I know you're feeling really good about you've accomplished those tasks by saying, well, God told me to stand still, and I stood still. God told me no, and I didn't pout. God told me yes, and I got what I wanted. But when God tells you go, when God tells you move, when you compass that, when you master that, that's when I'll be impressed. Because that's the biggest Amen. Challenge when he says go. And only great men and women of God who God has a purpose for, if you want to be great and you want to be all those things, mastering that command of going when God says go. That means that sometimes that you may leave something that is great and you may have to walk in a valley for a long time. You may be leaving something better, but in the in-between time may not be as good as what you were you at now. But I guarantee you when you get to the promised land, just by being obedient to God, that your latter will be greater than your former days. So the question again tonight, is God chasing you right now? Where is he telling you to go? Or where is he telling you to stay? Where is your place of service? And if you're not there, why aren't you there? Why aren't you there if you're not there? So when God says go, I want to position myself to be obedient to God, to trust him enough, to have enough faith, to say, Lord, okay, just tell me which direction, and I start walking. Even when I don't know the outcome in specifics, I know the outcome is going to be great because God told me to go. And I'm not even worried about failing because God does not set his people up to fail. There's not one recording in Scripture where someone's been obedient to God and they failed. Now, as a part of the process, we have battles and we have challenges, but no one has ever failed when God said go, and they went and they obeyed God. So, Sister LaChandra, I thank you for the opportunity on tonight. This message was, Amen. I would hope, was a blessing to someone. It was definitely for me because that Amen. Was been one of the hardest commands is when God says go. And I'm at the season in my life where if God says go, I've humbled myself and I've submitted myself in faith. And I said, well, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. And it doesn't matter what anyone says. You know what? It don't matter what my children think. It don't matter what friends. It don't matter what family people think. It don't, definitely don't matter what enemy thinks. And we have to get to the point where no one opinions matter more than no one opinion overrides God's command for our life. So I thank God for the opportunity tonight. And at this time, I'm going to give it back into your hands.
Amen. God bless you, Minister Randall. Thank you so much. I see we have a caller on the line tonight with Sister Minister Randall and I. Would you have any comments or would you like to speak on the subject tonight?
Hi, this is Minister Monette. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm
well, God bless you.
God bless y'all. I saw the message, and I said to myself, you know, dinner is done. I better call in. I meant to call in earlier, and time just kind of slipped by me. But I've truly been blessed by your words of encouragement. That's kind of where I am in my life, and the leading of the Holy Spirit unctioned me to call in. So I just want to say I was truly blessed, and thank you, ladies, so much. Because, you know, if you can just touch one, that's all that matters. Just keep doing the work of God, and you know, God bless y'all.
Praise
Amen.
God.
God bless you, woman of God. Amen.
Thank you for joining us, Monette. It's good to hear
thank
from you. I've been thinking about you.
Amen.
I've been thinking about you. How are you?
I'm blessed. I didn't realize it was Sister Wanda until I called in, you know, and I got the notification today when I was at work, and I said, let me call in. And then when I heard her voice, I went back while she was talking and looked at my email and was like, yay.
God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. That's why you kept ushering me to call in. And I couldn't rest. And when I finished dinner, you know, I was like, okay, so what will I do now? I was getting ready to pick up my word. And then something said, call in. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. So I'm so blessed, you guys. Thank y'all so much for pouring into my spirit. God knows just what we need when we need it. And I'm going through a transition in my life, and God is dealing with me about conquering my fears and moving forth in his, you know, his direction, whatever he tells me to do, you know, do it. So it was right on time. And so
Amen.
I thank y'all so much. I needed that. So bless y'all.
God bless.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really, really thank you. We appreciate you, and we've been missing you. I have been missing you.
Amen. Thank y'all.
And God bless you and your family. And tell Minister John that I said hello.
I will, absolutely. I miss y'all. I miss you guys. Things are kind of settling down a little bit on my end in terms of work. So I feel some sense of normalcy. Not quite, but some sense of normalcy. So thank
All
y'all.
Right.
I miss you too.
Amen. Well, Minister Randall, we thank you tonight for those encouraging words tonight, and certainly, hopefully, the people that are listening by computer got something out of this. When God says go, that is a question that makes us all ponder in our minds. What are we doing when He tells us to go? Why aren't we moving? What is our motivation beside Him telling us? We have to be obedient, and He has greater for us once we are obedient to His word and to His will. So that is so enlightening tonight. We got to get out of our comfort zones. We got to not worry about what's ahead, but just walk in it. If He made the vision, He'll make the provision. You know, God does what
Man.
He says. He's faithful to His word, and if He's got, if He told you to go, go. And I've been learning and growing and trying to step out on faith and on His word where He tells me to go. So God has blessed me, and I've had some positive results and actions behind what He's been telling me to do. So I thank God for Minister Randall and the Latter House and Dr. Carter, who has been speaking into my life very profoundly, and it's just giving me a new lease on life as God leads him to speak into my life. So thank God for Dr. Carter tonight.
Amen.
There is anything I want to just give a couple of announcements before we end the program, and if any one of you have any announcements that you would like to give tonight to our listening audience, feel free when I finish, and then Minister Randall can end us in prayer. But I wanted to say there will be a group session for Prep and Prime Flawless given by Janae Hunter, 2016 topic, budgeting, lifestyles, management, spiritual health, and more, Saturday, June 18, 2016 at 11 a.m. at the Southside City Church at 2100 West Loudon Street in Fort Worth, Texas. The guest speakers will be Minister Carletta Govan, Zarita Howell, and co-pastor Yolanda Butler. There will be vendors, food, games, and more. That's on June 18th. And Sister Janae Hunter also is sponsoring a dance camp. M&MZ's Summer Dance Camp offers a variety of enjoyable activities designed for the campers to learn a variety of dance styles. This is going to be for ages 7 through 18. It'll be hip-hop dance, liturgical dance, mime dance. This will start June the 10th to August 19th, every Friday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll have extra fun activities, Bible study, field trips, games, arts and crafts, showcases, and much more. Registration started June the 3rd at 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Southside City Church with the same address as before. Free lunch and snacks, $50 each month per child. Save $10 off registration for the second child. So those are the announcements that I have for our other ministries. If Monette, if you have anything you want to announce, or Sister Randall, Minister Randall, at this time, feel free to go ahead.
I don't have any announcements, Sister Lewis.
Me either. I'm good.
Okay. Well, God bless each of you. If you know of anything that you need to let us announce on My Sister, My Friend on Monday nights at 8 o'clock, feel free to either email me or text me or just join me on the show, and we'll be more than happy to get that information out there. We want to thank God for the Ladder House. As Minister Randall is over the Ladder House morning prayer line call. So, Minister Randall, would you go ahead and tell us about that and then pray us out?
Yes, the Ladder House Network, we are meeting every Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time and 6 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, for our daily, our morning New Day prayer call. We would like to thank God for what he's doing by way of the prayer call. And not only is God hearing us in this season, but the prayers that have been answered have been just profound. From your very own testimony, Sister Lewis, too, the one that has been most profound to me was the young lady who was dealing with the incarceration situation that we had been praying for 2 weeks and for God to release her, and how God released her, and she was able to call into the call-in last week, and it was just a blessing to me, along with all the other miracles that are taking place for the anointing that's on the ministry. And so I give all credit and glory to God, who makes all these things possible. And I do definitely thank God for Dr. Carter, who has allowed us to be partakers of the vision and the anointing that's on this ministry, and how God is moving. So I'm very grateful for that. As we end the call tonight, just being obedient to the Holy Spirit, I hear the Spirit saying that we've stayed on this mountain long enough. It's time to break camp and move on. I don't know what that means for everybody. It may mean something different for everybody. But he said that we've skirted this mountain long enough. And you know, as believers and as his sons and daughters, we are breaking camp and we're beginning our journey toward our promised land. And the promised land that he has for each of us is different. We haven't arrived yet, but we will. It won't be long before we are encamped at the border. And we're going to face our borders. And so tonight we have to see God. And we have to see God and know how we're going to handle our thought life through this journey. It's very critical. So if we're fasting and if we're praying and we're reading God's word, we're seeking God's face, we are going to enter in. There's nothing that anyone can do to stop or any further delay what God has for us. On the other hand, if we allow doubt and fear to enter in while we're on this journey, then we will continue to skirt this mountain longer. And God is saying that enough is enough, and that this is our season, and the door is open. He wants us to walk in that door. And in order for us to do that, this must be a journey of faith. And he's calling for faithful companions to lift each other up while we follow and we go through this journey. And Father, we connect tonight as faithful companions in the Spirit to help each other along the way. We're there to be each other's encourager, helper, and friend. And so we lift each other up in prayer, God, today, and that we trust you with our heart, our mind, and our soul, and we will obey you with all of our strength so that we enter into your blessings together in your Son, Jesus' name. Lord, we declare now this day that whatever you have for us in the heavens is hereby released on earth, and we claim it today, Lord, that our lives are lining up, God, with those things that you have already agreed upon in the heavens, that we bring those things down and we agree on them in earth, Lord, and we release blessings right now in the name of Jesus. We release healing now in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we release and receive your provision today, Lord, and I ask that you release your warring angel, Michael, Lord, for those things that are trying to block what God has already declared in the heavens, that he's fighting right now in the name of Jesus. And there would not be any more blockage. Yes, there would not be any more delays. There would not be any more confusion. We declare it now in the name of Jesus. War for your people. War for your daughters today, Lord. As we position ourselves to be the women of God that you've called us to be, Lord, we ask your angels to war on our behalf. And, Lord, I receive it now. I lift my hand out and I receive it. And right now I command my life. I command Sister Monique's leggings tonight to line up with the word of God. For Sister Chandra, Lord, that her earthly life lined up with what the heavens has already declared, and they are now hereby one. They are one now in the name of Jesus. They are one now. They are one. 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 What you have declared in the heavens is therefore declared here on earth. What you have loosed in the heavens, the blockage has been removed, Lord. We walk in your provision. We walk in your victory today, Lord. We walk in it right now in the name of Jesus over our home, Lord, in our workplace, Lord, in our finances, in marriage and in relationships, Lord, over our children, over our grandchildren. We walk in it right now, Lord. We walk in it now. We walk in it now, Lord. We declare that our heaven has been released on earth, and we walk in it now. We walk in it now, and we claim it now in the name of Jesus, and we're not going to take it back. We're not going to take it back. We speak to fear. We speak to doubt. We speak to disencouragement, and when you sent you back to the pits of hell for which you came, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind, and so we stand on your word today, Father, and we declare today. We sing it, Lord, in the heavens. Lord, we sing it here on the earth, Lord, and we declare this day in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
Lord. Everything that's crooked is hereby straight, Lord. You're making it straight,
Thank
Lord.
You, Father.
Yes, Lord. Everything that is
Thank
crooked,
you,
Lord, you're working it out and you're straightening it out now in the
Thank
name
you,
of
Jesus
for our life. But we hear you clearly. There's no more blockage, Lord. There's no more mumbling
you,
in
Father.
Our ear, God.
Woo.
There's no confusion of Lord, Lord. But we hear you clearly. And, Lord, when
Thank
you say
you,
go, we're putting on our shoes now. We begin to walk
right
in
now,
your direction.
Lord.
We walk in your direction,
yes,
Lord, and we're following your voice, Lord. I don't have to see the future, Lord, but Lord, just let me hear your voice, and we'll follow your voice. Let us just hear your voice, Lord, and we will follow, Lord. Let us just hear your voice, Father, and we will follow you. We declare this day, Lord, and we submit, Lord, in faith to you, Lord, that we will walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. All I need to do is hear your voice, Lord.
Yes, God.
All I need to do is hear your voice, Lord.
Yes, God.
Spirit, lead me.
Yes,
lead me, Spirit. Lead me, Spirit. Lead me, Spirit.
Yes.
Why trust with our voice.
Jesus.
Let us walk on the waters wherever you call us, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Take us deeper than our feet will ever wander.
Yes.
So our faith will be made stronger in the presence of our Savior. Spirit, lead us. Spirit, lead us. Spirit, lead us now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
In the
name
of
Jesus. Spirit, lead us, Lord. Order our steps in your word.
Yes.
Lead us and guide us, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Order our steps, Lord.
Order our steps,
Lord. Because we lay before you and we submit our will to your will, Lord. No longer my will, but your will, Lord. I submit it to you. And I command this day that the soul follows the spirit, the flesh follows whoever's in charge. And today, my spirit is in charge. Therefore, my soul and my flesh are submitted to the spirit, Lord. So we cannot go wrong. We can help but be victorious.
We declare this night that we are women who win. We are women who win. We are women who win. Defeat is not in our category, Lord. It's not in our vocabulary, Lord. Defeat does not even come around us, Lord. We are women who win. And I declare it by faith today, and I believe it, and I celebrate. And I celebrate, and I dance before you, Lord. And I dance before you, Lord. And I worship before you, Lord. And I sing before you, because we are women who win. We are women who win. We are women who win. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes,
thank you, dear God. Thank you. Hallelujah to your name, dear God. Thank you. Thank you, dear God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord. We hear you clearly, Lord. We hear you clearly, Lord. Thank you for removing the mother, Lord. Thank you for removing the background noise, God. Thank you for removing the emotions, Lord, so that we may hear you clearly, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. God bless you, women of God. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Have a good evening, ladies. We love you. We will talk later. Bless you, Monique. And I'll call you soon, okay? God bless you. Thanks for calling. I love you. Take care. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.